Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Alexis Innocent this morning with the American Red Cross Blood Services, and she has brought friends. And we are going to talk about a topic that we have talked, she and I, a lot about, but she has brought some people with a really a local perspective, sickle cell. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. Alexis, good morning. Good to have you here. Well, we'll introduce everyone else in just a second, but thank you for coming and really setting up this show today.
Absolutely. Good morning, Ted. It's so wonderful to be here. We were just talking about the wonderful weather we're experiencing, and I'm just so happy that we are on the other end of this year. We talked at the beginning of the year about manifesting, about goal setting, and this month is my month that I'm eligible to donate, so I'm very excited about that, and I'm going to probably get to my 6 pints this year, so yay for me.
Yay for you.
Overall, the
blood supply, we're coming into the holidays and all. I guess this is, it's important not to go and do it before you start getting busy. Donate blood if you can.
Yes. I mean, I've always been an advocate of, and you know, we've talked about this a long time, about making your appointment before you go, making your plans before you go, especially during this time of the year. We're getting ready to get into the busy holiday season, and you know, I'm here every 56 days as per usual, because that means it's time to give. It's time to donate again. You're eligible. And you know, as we go into the holidays, people get so busy, they forget to make the time, or it slips their mind. And now, as we get ready to head into winter time, this is our highest need time of the year, because the weather impacts our donors' ability to get out. We have cold and flu season that, I don't know, it's changed a lot. You know, we used to have peak seasons, but now it feels like people are sick constantly. And so being able to have donors who are healthy, who are able to come out and join us, making sure that we have blood on the shelf, that's vital, especially during the holiday weeks. I mean, I can't imagine anything worse for a patient in the hospital than having to be there over the holidays. Like, I had an aunt who was in the hospital over the holidays. It was very tough, you know, going through all the celebrations, doing all of the things, you know, trying to coordinate time to get back and forth to see them in the hospital. It was really, really hard. So, you know, if I can make sure that there's one thing that I could gift our patients, is making sure that that blood is on the shelf, available, ready when needed, especially this holiday season.
Redcrossblood.org for information on giving blood. Sickle cell is our focus this morning, and we welcome along with Alexis to the studio this morning, Reverend Herman Gladney, senior pastor of Emmanuel AME Church of Fredericksburg, and president of the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Great to meet you. Thank you for getting up early and coming in this morning, Pastor.
Hey, good morning, Ted. It's a pleasure to be here.
We're going to get into what everything is involved with sickle cell and what's going on in the area in just a second. Also want to welcome to the program this morning, Beth Sinkler is here this morning. Beth, good to have you here. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you for getting up and coming in.
And Clara Sentry is here. Clara, great to have you here this morning.
Thank you and good morning.
The Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, Pastor, talk about you. I know you've been around. The organization has been around for quite some time.
Yes, the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association was actually started in 1972 by our former mayor of Fredericksburg, Mayor Lawrence A. Davies, and his wife, Mrs. Janice Davies, basically because they had two daughters who had sickle cell. And coming here from Texas, they found out that there was a lack of knowledge, a lack of education, a lack of resources to deal with this disease in the Fredericksburg, Spotsylvania, and Stafford areas. And so they founded this organization as a nonprofit. You know, it's a self-sustaining community organization, and it's staffed and operated and basically by volunteers from the community.
If people want more information on what you do locally, what's the best way to find out more and even get in touch with you?
Well, the best way to get in touch with us is Our address is FASCA, F-A-S-C-A, and that's Post Office Box 3275, Fredericksburg, Virginia, 22402. They can also contact us via telephone at 540-322-4578.
Okay, and we will give those throughout the show, and I'll also include it when we post this show. But again, 540-322-4578. If you want to get involved. Do you have meetings or what kinds of things do you do?
Yes, serving as the president of the organization, of course, we have monthly meetings, and during those meetings, we talk about a variety of topics, things basically pertaining to supporting our clients and also the family members of clients with sickle cell. We meet the fourth Monday of every month, and our meetings normally last about an hour, hour and a half. All depends on what exciting things we have to talk about. And during our meetings, we also get updates from our patient advocate coordinator, who stays in touch with the local community, the medical community, Mary Washington Hospital, as well as other medical research organizations to keep us abreast of any new developments, and also keep us informed of what's going on in the lives of our current clients. And, of course, all of the other administrative functions, you know, that we do in any organization, making sure that we can continue to be financially solvent and also effective in reaching out to the community, participating with other community organizations, sponsoring activities to help us to fund ourselves so we can continue to meet the needs of our clients and their families.
What got you involved with the organization?
Well, that's an interesting question. I happen to be a seminary student at Virginia Union University back in 2010 time frame. One of my classes, field education, required all of us to find agencies in our community that we can work with outside of a church, you know, context.
Yeah.
The practical side of doing ministry, the helping people. And the FASCA organization happened to be co-located with our church. And I happened to know the current president of FASCA, so I went over and asked him if I could work with them, and he could sponsor me, and that's how I got involved back in 2011.
Okay.
And I've been bitten by that bug, and I've been here ever since.
Beth, what got you involved with the local group here?
Well, Ted, I'm actually originally from Texas, and I have a second cousin who had sickle cell. So it was very close in the family as far as when he was having a crisis, and the family would gather around and get to the hospital to support. And when I moved to the Virginia area, it was Mrs. Janice Davies. I attended the church, Shiloh Baptist Church, Old Site,
yeah,
where Reverend Davies and Mrs. Davies were the leadership pastors, and or at least Reverend Davies. And she had indicated that there was an organization, and I was familiar again with the disease and the impact that it has. And so that's what, you know, the introduction by Mrs. Janice Davies is what got me involved in starting to come to the meetings and starting to work with the different activities that they have.
Shows the importance of just of when you believe in something or wanting to get other people involved, talking to other people about getting involved. Claire, what's your story? How'd you get involved?
So I got involved in 2015. I moved to Fredericksburg in 2010. And at the time, my sister and I, we both have sickle cell disease. So she got involved with the organization, and then through her, she's deceased now. I also joined.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back and talk more about this. We're talking to Sickle Cell this morning. Alexis Innes from the Red Cross is, we have, Alexis, this is this disease and talking about it and just informing people has been just really a passion of yours, and that's really why we're here doing this show today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, my passion is blood, and my passion is, you know, I've said before on the show that I work for the American Red Cross, but, you know, they write my paycheck, but I really provide service to the patients in our hospital, and we have some really high needs right now for some very special patients who need specially matched blood, like sickle cell patients. And so I'm really happy to have this opportunity to give everybody a chance to share, to talk a little bit more about it, give some more really great in-depth information, and just continue to express to people how they can help.
Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. Here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Good stuff this morning as we talk American Red Cross blood and sickle cell in particular. Alexis Innes from the Red Cross is here along with Reverend Herman Gladney. Clara Sentry is here along with Beth Sinclair. Beth, you were telling me that there are a couple other ways. We gave a phone number, 540-371-9222, if someone wants to get involved that way. But there also, you've got through social media and in other ways, too.
Yes, we have our website, and that is FASCAonline.com. That's FASCAonline.com. You can go to the website, and you'll see different activities that the association does in the community, as well as information about sickle cell and our efforts. And then also we have a Facebook page, so you can look for FASCA via Facebook, and we have the most recent information about what the association is doing and how we're supporting the community.
Okay, and that's why it's great. Every so often we'll have to do shows like this just to let the community know that there are some helps and information and people here that can help you. Clara, as far as the disease goes, talk just a little bit about it, because a lot of us hear about it, and I know some from knowing Reverend and Mrs. Davies, but I don't know that a lot of us really do understand day-to-day some of the things that people deal with.
Okay, so as far as the disease, it's a blood disorder. It's inherited. So you inherit a gene from your parents. I, in particular, I have the SS, which is sickle cell anemia trait and disease. So what happens is the disease affects your red blood cells. So normal people have round-shaped red blood cells. With sickle cell disease, your red blood cells are sickle-shaped. They lack oxygen, and usually when the cells break down, it clumps up, and then it makes it difficult for blood to flow through. So you end up having pain in your joints and other parts of your body.
So do you get blood transfusions, things like that, or what are some of the things that you have to, you know, personally deal with?
So yes, I've had to have blood transfusions in the past. There's also other therapies, like medications. There's hydroxyurea, there's Adegvio, there's Endari. Now we have gene therapy. Others have done transplants, like bone marrow. So there's a variety of things or resources that are out there now for patients like myself.
We're fortunate, I would think, to have in this area something like the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association, just so you can get information or get together with other people to talk about this who either have it or have family members.
Absolutely. There's a lot that needs to be done to advocate for us and also to educate and bring awareness about the disease, because a lot of people do not know, even locally. Going into the emergency room and feeling like you're not heard, you're not believed, that you're in pain, you know, and that you're just making it up because you need pain medicine. So there are a lot of challenges that with the help of FASCA and other organizations, you know, we can help bring awareness about sickle cell disease.
besides that being awful, that you have to deal with that, just like you say, just the education of people is so important. So you don't have to, you shouldn't have to justify something like this.
Absolutely. But when you're in pain, I'm sitting here right now looking normal.
Right.
I can have a sickle cell episode and you may not even recognize me because I'm in so much pain. I'm rolling over. I had a doctor at Stafford Hospital say that, why are you rocking like a baby? I'm rocking like a baby because my whole body hurts and I'm not making it up. I can't roll over. I can't turn over because I'm in pain.
And do you know when, is there any kind of, do you know when you may have an episode?
Sometimes you can feel it coming on. And sometimes it just creeps up on you. So I could be here. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a meeting at work, and it just came on.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's stress-induced, sometimes dehydration, sometimes anemia. Different factors can cause an episode.
Did you know as a young child, or if it's you know, hereditary and in that kind of thing, that as you get older, it just all of a sudden you start showing signs?
So I come from a family of four. So my oldest sibling Jennifer, who's deceased now, she had her first crisis at 6 months, where my parents said her arms were swollen. You know, she would cry every time you pick her up. So her pediatrician had her tested and they found out she had sickle cell. So when I was born, they immediately got me tested and they found out I had it too. So I've known since I was a child, but my first crisis was when I was about 20, when I was in the U.S. I'm originally from Ghana, West Africa. So my first crisis was in December of 1996. Where I had acute chest syndrome, and I'd never experienced anything like that before.
Yeah. And I guess, does it vary how long you have these episodes?
It does. Sometimes it could be a day, couple of days. Sometimes it could be months. Sometimes it involves hospitalization, and anything can bring it on. Like I said, it could be a cold, right? Cough. It could be you being anemic. Stress, dehydration, so it varies.
But and that's why education is so important. That
Absolutely.
When something like this happens and you can't go to work,
No.
you don't have to justify it. It's just Clara wants a day off kind of thing. And, you know, the fact is Clara can't function.
No, and you're always having to prove yourself to people. Like you said, work. So for me, even. When I'm in pain, I'm still going to work because I don't want anybody thinking that I'm making this up.
Right.
I'm just trying to get a day off. Yes.
Well, Beth, that really is where then education in an organization like the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell is so important.
Yes.
Because we don't know. I mean, I've learned a ton of stuff right now. As far as the research goes, Are we getting any closer to finding out, you know, being able to provide some relief or even a cure for this?
Yes, as Claire mentioned, there are a number of different things and treatments that a client can have. Every case is somewhat unique,
sure.
And that's why there's so many different things available for the clients to get involved in, of course, at their doctor's, advice. I will say that one of the things that FASCA does, and it's so important to our association in working with the hospital, FASCA has led that effort for when our patients go into the emergency, that they now have a procedure specific to address our sickle cell patients that are coming in. And so we've worked with doctors and administrators at the Mary Washington. They've been a great partner of ours in establishing that protocol, if you will, and those steps. We've also, as an association, reached out to the schools, because oftentimes we have our young clients, and they're in high school, grade school, elementary, and the school teacher.
Yeah.
Their teachers have no idea what they're going through. So FASCA has been instrumental in working with the school systems, having seminars for the teachers to understand what a patient is going through as they're sitting there, just as Claire identified, at any time
yeah.
a crisis can come on. And even at the adult level, when a crisis does happen, our association supports the clients. They've got to take off work. And we all know what that means when
yeah.
you're not able to work and you don't have that income coming in and you still got bills to pay. But, you know, that's the work of the association, is to provide that support in all those different ways that we can help get the community involved with the knowledge and then the steps of what best to do to support these individuals.
Alexis Innes with the American Red Cross Blood Services. Since I have known you, like I said, you have been passionate about this,
yeah.
and I know when you were up here and this was your territory, and we're here a lot more. I know you work closely with the association.
Yeah, you know, when I with my work with American Red Cross as an account manager, I became a sickle cell account manager for a brief time, and really got to see the whole landscape of, you know, what's been happening in Virginia, you know, what the policies are, what's been going on, what is this work all about. And one of the things that was very evident to me at the very beginning of learning this information was certainly the believability of the clients, as you call them, or patients with sickle mm-hmm. cell, when they come and are entered into the hospital, you know, the treatment that they receive, of the believability about their pain. And when you're experiencing something that's invisible, that's yeah. difficult to demonstrate, and when we're talking about these healthcare disparities in our healthcare system, and we understand how some people are treated differently than other people, that plays a huge bias, plays a huge role in the care that our patients with sickle cell receive. It delays, it acts as a delay to the care, to their treatment.
Right.
The challenge that we experience on the blood side is making sure we're all about preparedness. We want to make sure that those pints are tested and available and ready to go when a patient hits the hospital. We know that the best match for a patient with sickle cell is usually someone of the same or similar ethnicity. I am a sickle cell fighter, as we've talked about many times on the show. So I'm what the laboratory refers to as the gold standard for patients with sickle cell in the hospital. My blood type is O positive and I am CEK negative. Having the absence of those additional antigens, which there are 600 on the red blood cell, is the best match for patients with sickle cell who frequently are transfused with blood. When you are exposed to that many different kinds of donors, you have a propensity to make antibodies against certain blood types, certain blood antigens. And so being able to prevent patients from making those antibodies ensures that we can continue to transfuse them with blood. It makes it easier for us to find blood matched blood products for them, and making sure that we have the blood on the shelf when a patient goes into crisis. Vital to our mission work.
And that is why, especially if you have blood that can help sickle cell, you just need to give.
I mean, we've talked before, 62% of the population now are eligible to give. Only 3% do. So the education that we need to do yeah. in the realm of just blood donation, I mean, forget about like just something so specific as a particular match for a patient who is frequently transfused or has antibodies against certain antigens. I mean, just making sure that we continue to educate, tell people why it's important to give. You can be 16 with your parents' permission, 110 pounds, and be in general good health. That's all it takes. It takes an hour of your time. Download the app, visit redcrossblood.org, plug in your zip code, find a blood drive near us. It's the holidays, guys. I can't think of a better gift to give than the gift of life, and it doesn't cost you anything but your time. So come and join us and help us help our patients in the hospital.
Alexis Innes here this morning. Reverend Herman Gladney is here. Beth Sinkler and Clara Century here this morning as we talk American Red Cross blood and sickle cell in particular. Quick break. We'll be back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 831.
From From the Fredericksburg.today online news studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFBA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station focused on Fredericksburg. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking American Red Cross Blood and Sickle Cell this morning, and the work locally of the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Alexis Innes from the Red Cross is here along with Beth Sinkler, Clara Sentry, and Reverend Herman Gladney, all with the local Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. Reverend Gladney, I guess you know you get out things like Juneteenth or various events in the in locally, and just the little bit of education we've talked about this morning. It's important for all of us to learn about this and to advocate for some things with this.
Yes, and I'll ask Beth to jump in with me. Remember that FASCA is a nonprofit organization, so we don't receive outside funding. We have to generate our own funding to be able to support our clients as well as their family members. So some of the things we do in that regard, we have an annual walk-a-thon that's supported by the community, and people give donations to come and participate in about a 3-mile walk. And it's normally held in September. And it's been very, good over the past years. We've had biker clubs, we've had fraternities, we've had a lot of other civic organizations to come out and partner with us as well as support us in the fundraising aspect. We also participate in Juneteenth, and that's to educate the community about some of the things that we are doing. And sometimes we even get a chance to celebrate, those sickle cell clients who are still doing well. And along with that, we also raise funds to give scholarships to sickle cell students who want to continue their education by going to college. I think it was in 2002 FASCA established the Lauren A. Davies Scholarship. This young lady passed away relatively early in life, but that scholarship is designed to assist seniors with sickle cell to be able to go to college. And as Beth said a few minutes ago, we work with the schools. We send our applications out to the schools in the local area. And we encourage students with that category to apply. In the month of November, we celebrate all of our sickle cell clients by what we call a Family and Friends Day. We bring them in, we bring in local talent. We've had, tremendous guest speakers, radio announcers and talented young mm-hmm. people to come in and perform liturgical dances, to sing. And it's just a great time. And of course, there's plenty of food for everyone to enjoy. And I think our next event is coming up relatively soon.
It's next month.
Right, Beth. November the 9th, if I have that date correct.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, mm-hmm. Beth, you want to jump in with some other things that we do?
Sure. Again, as a nonprofit, we look to fundraise, and I think you've mentioned some of our key fundraising efforts, our walk-a-thon. I also want to mention that you can see us at health fairs, and we welcome, if you want to get in touch with us and let us know about your health fair, we'd love to come and set up, and we'd love to share with the community, the everyday people, about this disease and how it impacts people in the community, so a coworker perhaps or a neighbor.
Yeah.
So at health fairs, we have the opportunity to share the latest and greatest as far as medically where this disease and this the different aspects of that are, but also just to just share one-on-one with local people. So we love to be at health fairs, so I wanted to share that. As an association, we are very small as far as the association goes. So I just want to give a shout out to all of our FASCA family, I call them, but all of our FASCA members, which are, they're so dedicated towards the fundraising, getting out in the community, getting sponsorships to support people like Claire when we go to the hospital, when we're having seminars for the teachers. You know, all of those things take funding, and our association workers are the ones that are out in the community, you know, doing the work of getting those resources, finding those resources. So I just want to share that information as well.
And Beth, also, want to mention, we have a tremendous support network in the local churches. You know, we have several churches who support FASCA on an annual basis. We are in their budgets. And of course, we want to reach out and ask other churches to continue to do the same. And because every penny helps the lives of our clients and their family members. And to put it in proper context, if we kind of understand that we are talking about, you know, normal people for most instances, our clients, they are married. I mean, they have families. I mean, they work, and they live normal everyday lives. But when they run into a crisis situation, you know, all of that has to halt. And as Beth said a few minutes ago, that's where FASCA steps in, come along beside, to try to make sure we can support them financially and in other ways, and also go to the hospitals and advocate for them, because a sickle cell crisis, a lot of time to the medical community, and look like a drug, situation. You know, and where people are just coming to the hospital to get treatment for their drug habits. And so we are very helpful in advocating for individuals in those cases.
And Claire, that's what you've talked about. And really a lot of this comes down to just what's needed so much is education. Yes. On this and teaching us.
Yes. And it starts right here locally with our healthcare professionals. You know, they need to know, they need to understand. I had a recent crisis, and I had a friend of mine take me to Fairfax. It's quite a bit of a distance, but when she took me there, she realized, oh my goodness, the treatment is so different, because she's also helped me locally by taking me to either Stafford or Mary Washington. And since we had that experience together, when I'm sick, she's insisting to take me up north, because she was like, we got in, they put an IV in, oxygen, started pain medicine. Even though the emergency room at Fairfax Hospital was packed,
yeah,
I became a priority. They got me comfortable until they could find a room for me. Locally, I don't get that kind of treatment. I'm in there and they're assuming either I'm pretending to be in pain and I'm just here to get a fix. But no, I'm a professional. When I'm not sick,
yeah,
I go to work every day. You know, and I'm trying to, I'm also a mother and a caregiver for my parents. So I'm not here to get on pain meds. No, I can stay at home and take those pain medications. I need treatment. I need hydration. Sometimes even oxygen can help.
So education is just the thing, and what FASCA is able to do to advocate.
Yes,
is
so
just
FASCA
a huge
needs
thing.
The funds. Like my nephew, who has sickle cell disease, is also a recipient of the FASCA scholarship. You know, he's at Germana, trying to make a living and living with sickle cell disease. So we need organizations, churches to partner with FASCA to make resources available to people like me.
Mm. Yeah. And that's why the work you do, the education and people to get involved financially is so important.
Yeah, and Ted, I would also like to put a plug in for Mary Washington in the local hospital. I can say they've made tremendous strides in the healthcare that they are providing for this area. And as we've heard, there's still a lot of more work to do. But basically, Fairfax and Richmond seem to have, they're a little further along in their treatment programs and their awareness of sickle cell. But we're working hard right here in our area to try to make sure that our own local medical facilities, fully understand also. And also, we have to keep in mind that doctors rotate. So education is a continual thing, and so that's why we're excited. We've celebrated our 52nd anniversary, and we are not tired yet.
Now you're going strong, and it is being able to talk to people in all different areas to educate them about just about this and just how. So Claire, when it comes on you, is it like instantaneous all of a sudden, or do you know a little bit ahead of time that something's happening here?
Most of the time is instantaneous. Sometimes I'm asleep and I'm dreaming that I'm in pain, and I wake up and I'm in pain. Sometimes I can't even walk because I'm in so much pain. Sometimes I feel it coming on and I start hydrating, but it becomes a full-blown crisis.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and like you described, the fact that you have a friend mm-hmm. that has seen this and wants to help you, everybody needs that kind of thing. If you know somebody who's got this diagnosis, you need to become that person.
Absolutely.
I'm sure that's a relief to you to know that you have somebody you can depend on.
Yes. I have a community that supports me, and I'm grateful for that, including FASCA.
This has been a very educational show. You all have done are doing a lot to help, I think, in the community to teach us all.
I think it's been rewarding as a member of FASCA for a number of years to meet the families, to meet our clients. And as Claire has mentioned, she's talking about family. Nephew, sister who has passed away. We've worked with clients over the years, and some are doing well, and they have their crisis, and we have reports where they need support or they're in the hospital again, and it's about the families. We have a Mr. and Mrs. that came, so adult. And she works diligently within our association. However, her husband did pass away. We've had primarily this disease impacts the African American community. And we had a client come to us who had adopted an African American child, and she was Caucasian. So, the support that we were able just to provide, again, with education as well as support in that instance. So, our client base just covers, the family, whatever that family unit looks like. But those are just some of the things that I'm just kind of reflecting on. We've just had some clients we get very close to, and then, they pass away. Just as she mentioned, Claire, her sister, she was phenomenal, and she was a spokesperson and advocate for FASCA, and unfortunately we lost her. So, that's the impact of working with the association, being able to support the families as much as we can during our enjoyment time, as well as, those times where we have some losses. It is a disease, and it does impact.
The fact in this day and age that you have to justify, Claire, and even to educate in this day and age with all the information that's out there, it's just astounding.
It is.
that has to be the case.
Ted, we've talked before on the show, but I think it bears repeating, especially today, that sickle cell is more prevalent than cystic fibrosis. I think you're familiar with the water bucket challenge and mm-hmm. things like that,
yeah.
that has been done. And, you know, unfortunately, because of the way, because there is so much bias, and especially, you know, we hit on very important facts about when you go into crisis, the believability, having to take time off of work, all of the inconveniences. And it's not just something that happens to the patient, it happens to the whole family. The whole family needs support to be able to move through and manage the disease. I think it's really important to note about, you know, continuing to ensure that we continue to talk about it, we continue to educate our donor base that mm-hmm. we, you know, that it becomes eligible. We get a new donor base every single year. And yep. so continuing to remind them why, and, you know, really what I want to do, you know, as a part of my job with Blood Services is advocate for folks to donate regularly, making sure that they invite their friends and family to come and donate with them. You know, that's how you build healthy habits within the family. That's how you continue to educate. A lot of folks, you know, don't always want to bring kids or don't want to share or don't want to, you know, have their kids know about blood donation, or, you know, they really think it's just about them personally. It's their own personal decision. But as we can see, you know, getting the whole family involved and really helping support the whole family by educating, spreading the word, and inviting in is really vital to the mission.
FASCAonline.com for information on locally what the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association. FASCA, F-A-S-C-A, online.com for more information. Quick break, and we'll wrap this up real quick on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Download the all-new News Talk 1230 WFVA app for Apple and Android. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
The work of the Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Association this morning and the American Red Cross. Alexis Innes here with the Red Cross, along with the Reverend Herman Gladney, Claire Sentry, and Beth Sinkler, all here this morning to talk about this. Thank you so much just for the education. This hour has been just phenomenal, and the passion and in all of you being able to talk about this. This really is, Beth, like you said, this is to do advocacy. You need more people to get involved personally, but also financially, just to get the word out on this. So when Claire and others have situations, they can be ushered in and taken care of right away and not have all the things that she's described this morning.
You're absolutely right. It is an effort of love to the community is the work of FASCA. For this particular small area that we do. And, you know, we have a membership drive. September is National Sickle Cell Month. And, you know, we just don't want to limit it to September, but we want to extend it to at any time, in any way. But if you're interested in joining our effort of advocacy and education and support, we welcome you. So the information to get in touch with us has been shared, but, you know, we welcome if you have a passion for helping and just believing in the good work that we need to do in the community to help, you know, we welcome you to join us.
I don't think I mentioned it. Beth, by the way, is vice president of FASCA here locally. Just a couple of just a little over a minute left. Reverend Gladney, the fact that that you're here and you're helping people, that's, I guess, ultimately get involved. And if you know if give blood, and especially if you're able to give blood and you can help a sickle cell patient, please consider it.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Ted. And we currently have about 12 clients that we are actively supporting. And again, sickle cell is, you know, it's not very prevalent in the community. It's a relatively small sector of community that is affected by it. And plus, it's normally of people of African descent that experience this. But as Alexis said, you know, people don't like to talk about blood. Well, you know, I'm a pastor. And of course, I know that life is in the blood. And if you don't have any blood, you don't have life. And even though we can cure sickle cell clients, they are still susceptible to these other diseases. The young lady who was cured by stem cell died from COVID-19.
So
we are talking about real people.
Real people. Claire, thank you for coming in and sharing your story. And your story is just, it's heartbreaking in some ways, just the things that you're having to deal with. So hopefully we see some changes.
Thank you, Ted, for having us.
FASCAonline.com is, again, the website for the local Fredericksburg Area Sickle Cell Group. RedCrossBlood.org. And I have no more time to even have you say anything, Alexis. I am so thankful for you setting this up.
Thank you for having me here today. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you, Ted.
Donate blood.
Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA, focused on Fredericksburg.